at the very end. I didn't get your call sign. I don't know if you lost the repeater or what's going on.
2 Bravo November Golf. I got this piece of software I'm playing with, this ODV2 diagnostics program. You know, with the cable that plugs into the ODV port. Because nowadays you need these computer diagnostics things to get any useful information out of these cars.
Not all too well. I had to do that whenever I had a, I can't remember, one of my glow plugs going bad. I don't remember exactly, but I was trying to run the buzz test on it and didn't know if it was the OBD connection or what, so I tried a different one, and then I ended up having to use a Windows computer just to just get each cylinder to buzz. Finally worked, but man, it's a pain in the butt.
Saying this is the second time I've activated this piece of software, which I suppose is true because the original computer that I had it on crapped out on me. But yeah, I think you're allowed to have it on maybe 3 computers. I'll tell them, and I'll you know, write them a letter and say, hey, you know, it's the computer that it was on is dead.
So is this like a professional piece of software?
About as close to a professional piece of software as you're going to get. The cable was only $50, and it came with the software. So it's probably not that professional. Although most of the cost is for that, you know, for the little tablet computer that the program runs on. So, because I actually do have one made by Autel that I paid like $450 for, $475. You know, but a big part of that cost is, you know, a machine to actually run it on.
Yeah, I think I got lucky. Like I said, mine was very limited use for the OBD stuff. So, I mean, little readers, the little wireless ones, I mean, they're only like $15. And like I said, I found some software. I don't know if it was just for Ford or if it was something you can use on more, but I've only used it that one time just to run the buzz test. But other than that, that's pretty much the only time I've used it. Besides, like I said, I got some software I run on my phone that monitors the OBD reader and will give me the readout from it for whatever, you know, anything you can pull off of it. But that's about it.
It's called Forescan, which I have here as well, which yeah, it's more biased toward Ford. I was just playing this with this one now to see if, you know, what I could really do with it. And, you know, a lot of times it's helpful since usually whatever it is, you're going to have to bring it in for servicing anyway. It's helpful if you can, you know, have some useful opinion as to what's going on.
Absolutely, and I think that was it, that Forescan. It was more Ford-oriented, because every other piece of software or application I tried wouldn't complete the buzz test. It just wouldn't work, even though it was supposed to, and that was the only one I've got that was able to actually get all the cylinders to buzz. So it was interesting, but it didn't really help me out at the end of the day. But yeah, on my phone, I use Torque Pro, man. That's a really nice app, man. I can get everything from my pressure gauges to, you know, what the ECU's reading as far as the voltage and everything else. It's really neat, but doesn't have much functionality outside of that, just showing a bunch of gauges.
I'm using called ODB Wiz, which is what came with the ODB cable. There's, I think, a more comprehensive one called ODB Auto Doctor. Forescan I have. Let's see. There's one called Toad, which I forget what's an acronym for, but yeah, there's a few of the higher end programs that are available. Like, they're, you know, you pay more money for them, or they're available on a yearly subscription or something like this. There's some subscription version of this that's like $30 a year or something, which, you know, might be worth it.
And just depending on who it is, if it's a bigger developer, you know, maybe not as much, but you get some of these smaller developers, and I think it's good to buy the program. So what are you using it for in particular? Are you running, do you run a shop, or is it just so you can diagnose your own car?
A couple of cars that I bought at auction, so that says a lot right there. No, it's useful just to diagnose your own cars, to be able to go to a mechanic and, you know, be able to talk intelligently about the problem. But yeah, you know, nowadays it's pretty much all that you know, plus you need to be able to clear error codes, that sort of thing, clear diagnostic codes. You need to be able to use it sometimes to, if I change out an engine module or something, a computer module, you know, now the VIN numbers are wrong, and I might have to reprogram the VIN numbers. I even had to do that on radio. The radio from a 2007 Saturn. Because what it happens is, the first time if the radio is blank when it's first turned on, it goes and queries the body control module for the VIN number and stores it inside itself. Now, if you take it and put it in another car, it's not going to work. You know, another Saturn.
Kind of stuff that they do, but I tell you what, though, I would recommend the wireless readers if you ever need anything, just to be able to kind of monitor it. I mean, they work good. I was able to use mine with that Forescan, but obviously you got to have a computer that's got Bluetooth capability. But, you know, phones pretty much come with it, which is what I tend to use it for the most. But I just leave one plugged into my OBD slot all the time, so anytime I need to pull it up, I can. So I like those. They're pretty good. But I think you got to be careful, because you buy the wrong one, and either it won't work right or it won't read the right thing. So I did a little bit of research, but it's still not expensive. They're only like $15, maybe $25 at the most expensive one. And to get the wireless capability is really nice. KO4CE.
Yeah, the machine I had this on before was so ancient, I'm not even sure it had Bluetooth. That one unfortunately seems to have, you know, it's probably not, I could probably fix it, but it's not worth fixing it. Yeah, you know, I should have thought of that. The one that has the Bluetooth receiver, because right now, you know, the cable on this thing isn't more than a few feet long. So unless you're sitting here in the car behind the wheel, it doesn't really, can't really do anything with it.
Which, you know, a little TP-Link, you know, it's kind of a fairly known company, I guess. They make a lot of different stuff for networking and whatnot. They sell a little Bluetooth dongle you can plug in your laptop. I use one for my home computer, and they work great. And those aren't expensive either. So you can make pretty much any laptop Bluetooth. But, man, again, like I said, I use it just for, I've got the wireless OBD reader, and then I just use it with that Torque Pro app on my Android. And like I said, I can monitor my boost and everything. I've got a couple different ones that I use just to monitor the stuff. But like I said, the functionality of something like Forescan is not there, but it's still pretty nice to have.
The very, you know, even some of the more expensive ones may not necessarily be that much better or give you that much functionality. For example, the one that I paid $475 for, the one by Autel Mark 808, that thing can't read the VIN number on my Ford Taurus, 2014 Ford Taurus. And of course, without the VIN number, it can't do very much else. The reason it can't read the VIN number is because it's the Ford Taurus Police Interceptor, and they had a different series of VIN numbers. But still, you know, that's a software issue they should have resolved. I think I left them a bug report on that.
I'm curious why they'd even go to that trouble of blocking the VIN on a police vehicle. I don't know what that offers them, but yeah, you never know. But yeah, I would hate to spend that kind of money and it not work the way I wanted it to.
Just different VIN numbers. I'm not sure why. I even went to like some of the car vending websites, like Car Guru or Carvana, and type in that VIN number. Now Car Guru knew what it was. Sorry, can you describe your car? Don't know what that VIN number is. So, seems like a simple change to make to the software.
Wonder why Ford did that, because, I don't know. At work, we only pay attention to the last 7 digits of the VIN. The rest of it doesn't really matter to us. So, I'm curious now, because we get police, you know, it's more overseas than it is here, but you get police departments that'll buy BMWs. I'm curious about that now.
Well, okay, the police interceptor version of the Taurus is somewhat different, but mostly in the category of having, you know, a beefier cooling fan and beefier radiator, you know, oil cooler, transmission cooler, you know, much better brakes, stiffer suspension, you know, better engine output, that sort of thing. But, you know, basically it can't be that different from the regular Taurus. Well, except they moved the shifter on the column instead of the floor. But the car can't be that different.
They got everyone to realize that a police vehicle would have a different VIN than a regular one, but I don't know. That's kind of curious. I'll have to see if I can figure that out at work, whether they get a different one or not. I know the last 7 doesn't change. They're, you know, most of the time, almost numerical order whenever we run them down the line, but I'm curious about the longer part of the VIN.
12 digits or so, or 10 digits of the VIN number are, I guess, encoded in there as the manufacturer and the model number and the year, and whatever else you can put in there. But, yeah, I wonder if they did the same thing with the crappier version of the predecessor to the Taurus, the Crown Victoria. I wonder if they did the same thing with the police version of that. Another car I was never fond of. But, you know, like the Taurus, it had a lot of trunk space, is all I can say about it.
Get going, Paul.
It's an okay car. To me, for some reason, the Ford Taurus always represented everything wrong with automotive engineering. It's a big, bulky, boxy-looking car, but somehow without a lot of interior room. And also, for some reason, not real good visibility. But, you know, it does have a lot of trunk space. I'll say that for it. You know, before that, most of the cop cars, I think, were the Crown Victoria, which was also, by the way, the Crown Victoria and this were also popular livery cabs. You know, cab drivers, cab companies used to use them, the Crown Vic, I guess, because it had the space.
See that? I mean, that, during the time, it was pretty popular, and I remember them coming out with Ford Tauruses, probably what, 2000. You know, they had the super high output, or I can't remember what they were. I mean, they were performance-driven Ford Tauruses. You're like, why do we have a Ford Taurus that's made for higher performance for just normal people to drive? It's just so weird, because I remember my mama just raving about the doggone thing.
Show version of the Taurus. They put in the 3.5-liter EcoBoost engine, which I think was a turbocharged engine, and whatever else they did to it, you know, different gear ratios, whatever. Same thing they did with the police interceptor. It's basically the SHO model. Although there was another engine they also used. There was a 3.5-liter turbocharged engine, and there was a 3.7-liter flex fuel engine. The 3.5-liter engine actually had more torque and horsepower, and that thing was supposed to be able to go 150 miles an hour down the highway, and 0 to 60 in like 5 seconds or something. So, yeah, I guess the police cruiser and the SHO aren't that are probably closely related.
Back in the day, I think Tauruses and Crown Vicks, I think you saw a ton of them. I don't know why, but you definitely saw plenty of them.
Ford Taurus from the 1990s, you know, early to mid-90s, it was, it was an uglier car than it is now. It was a real boxy-looking car. Actually, there was a wagon, too, that I think about it. There was a station wagon. But, you know, they gave it a bit of a facelift, I guess, in the early 2000s, 2010, somewhere around there. They made it sleeker, you know, more angular, whatever. Still not really going to win any beauty awards, but actually, I don't know. This one runs well. It's got a couple of nice little features. I like the backup parking alarm, you know, the parking alert. I like the backup camera actually appears in the rear view mirror, which is kind of nice to have. So, everything's menu-driven, though. On the steering wheel, you've got all these selectors for various menus that appear in the display. And so that's how you look, you know, except for the tach gauge and the speedometer gauge and the fuel gauge, it's all menus.
That's old school right there. When Ford first started putting that rear view in the mirror, that was the thing right there. And now you got all the cameras and the big, huge screens in the middle of the car and everywhere else. It's crazy how much progress we made in such a short period of time.
I think you would need a thing like that except for maybe a large vehicle. But even for a small vehicle, the backup camera is actually kind of useful. And it's got the... It goes beep, 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 as you get closer to the thing behind you. It beeps more frequently as you back into something. So, I guess those are nice. And as far as I know, this one ain't never been in a wreck, which for a police car is a little unusual.
Yeah, I guess so. Maybe it would come from one where they didn't have a, they didn't let them pit or something. Who knows? There ain't no telling.
The one that sat outside the high school, or the one that sat outside the shopping mall in case someone to arrest people for shoplifting or whatever. But yeah, it's probably the only decent car that I got at auction that actually works. And there was a vehicle report attached to it, and the vehicle report doesn't show any accidents, which for, you know, for a police car, they generally usually have at least one or two minor accidents. And, you know, wasn't that many miles on it. And police vehicles, commercial and fleet, municipal and government fleet vehicles are usually very well maintained. Police cars, I would especially imagine, you know, you don't want to be going down the road and all of a sudden the car craps out. Yeah, I was after the bank robbers and the car broke down. Oh, well.
It would be good, but man, just imagine, I mean... The car itself, high-speed chases and stuff like that, I mean, they're rough on those cars then. But other than that, I'm sure the maintenance is kept up on it and things like that. So it definitely wouldn't be a bad deal. I've always wanted to go to a car auction. I've never been to one, even though they got one in Spartanburg. But it's never something I've done. So, well, I'm pulling into the neighborhood, so I'm going to say 7-3. I appreciate you keeping me company on my way home. And you have fun with the... OBD Adventures, and hopefully everything will work out the way you want it to. KO4CEF, and I'll be clear on your final.
82BNG. Yeah, all right, 73, take it easy, and we'll talk to you later.